Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. I'm your host, Craig Israel, and I'm joined with a very special co-host today, ThunderTech President Jason Therrien.
Howdy.
And we have a very special in-studio guest, entrepreneur, speaker, author, podcaster, Joe Pulizzi. Did I say it wrong again?
No, you got it. That's perfect. I give you 4 stars for that wonderful pronunciation.
Out of 10.
It's great. It's great to be here, guys.
So, Joe, well known for being the founder of Content Marketing Institute and the Associated Content Marketing World, coming up here in September.
That's right, just a few weeks away.
Why don't you give us the high level on this esteemed event?
Oh, geez. So, Content Marketing World was our brainchild. When we started the Content Marketing Institute formally in 2010, mm-hmm. coming from the media background, we're like, okay, well, if we're going to do this and we're going to go big or go home, we need an event to bring marketers together who are thinking about this content marketing approach. So we had the idea in September 2010, and we were saying, okay, well, how can we get this thing together? Let's do a Content Marketing World event in September 2011, so it'll give us a full year. And honestly, we were hoping to bring, I said, man, if we can get 100 people to Cleveland, that would be something. That'd be just fantastic. And that year, we ended up getting 660 to the event. Uh-huh. And I remember going out there on stage for the first time, and it was started the business in 2007. And it was the first time, actually, as I walked out on stage, I'm like, maybe I don't have to get another job now. Maybe like this, maybe this will actually be a thing. And now we're in our 6th year for Content Marketing World, and September 6th through 9th, and we're going to have well over 3,500 marketers from 60 countries this year. And believe it or not, it is the largest regular business event in the city of Cleveland. So, and we're proud to sort of have that. I'm from Sandusky, Ohio, but I've lived in Cleveland for over 20 years now, and love Cleveland, everything Cleveland, and it's just nice that we can give people a chance to see this area they don't usually get to. Most of the people that come have never been to Cleveland before. Right. Just like we obviously, the RNC was just in Cleveland. Most of those people had never been to Cleveland before, and you got to get them to Cleveland to give them a taste. But so it's nice, and the city's really gotten behind it, and it's a good thing for not only the marketing industry, but I think for Northeast Ohio as well.
So we love it that you kept it here in Cleveland, but you must have had pressure to make it a rotating event, take it out to the West Coast, the East Coast. So what's kept you in Cleveland?
That's a great question. probably when we started to, let's see, the third year when we got over 1,000. The second year we had to move it out because there was no Cleveland Convention Center. Now there is, I guess it's the Huntington Convention Center now. Mm-hmm. Right. And so Content Marketing World 2012, we had to move to Columbus, which is fine. I love Columbus, but it doesn't have the feel that I like in Cleveland. A lot of, everything's sort of centered downtown. If you go to Columbus, it's a little bit everywhere because of Ohio State. But we were able to come back in 2013 because the convention center, we were the first real event. So they practiced on us. And I can tell you some horror stories about that. But anyways, but it was great. We had the space available to make it happen. And then I remember talking to a number of VCs, a number of event professionals would say, hey, okay, you got to get serious about this. You got to bring it to New York. You got to do it in Vegas. You got to do it in Silicon Valley. Right. And I'm like, I don't think we have to. I think if we really focus on the best of what Cleveland has to offer and we focus on bringing the best of the best speakers in and practitioners, we can make it work. And we really focus on trying to have a lot of fun. Obviously, we did one whole year in Ohio City, which is just west of Cleveland. We did a little beer tour for that. This year, we're bringing in Cheap Trick as sort of our one of our entertainment venues. We'll be down in the Flats. So the Flats is completely new. So we'll be down at Forward, which is a new bar down there. So Cleveland has a lot to offer from that standpoint. If there's one negative, and I think I can say this without the regional executives getting mad at me, we have a real problem with flights into Cleveland, I think. There's just not the amount of choice. And it's sort of chicken or the egg. I mean, Cleveland used to be a continental hub. When United took them over, mm-hmm. we lost a lot of those flights. And I think it does hurt. And we saw some of that with the RNC. It was tough for some people to get direct flights in. It's getting better. You've got Spirit and JetBlue and a couple of them coming in. But if I was to say where we need to improve, that's it. But everything else, I think that Cleveland can be a solid second-tier city. And you don't get lost in Vegas and Silicon Valley. I mean, I don't want to go to Dreamforce with 150,000 people. I want to network and talk with these people and interact with them. And that's why it's sort of all centrally located in downtown Cleveland. And we can sort of make that networking happen for them.
And that had to have been a plus over the years. Plus, you know, even though it may be difficult for some folks coming out of town or out of country even to get, it hasn't slowed down the growth.
No.
The content clearly is good enough to put up with an extra leg or whatever they need to do to come and see Joe.
So let's say we had that, so it went from 660 to 1,000 to 1,500 to 2,300 to 3,300 to hopefully close to 4,000 this year. So good, solid growth. But if we were to move to, let's say, New York, all that growth is taken up with expense.
Right.
And we don't have the expenses we do. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, I always say, if you move to Cleveland, everything's on sale. It is. It absolutely is. That's the way that you have to look at it. And we get really good people for reasonable prices for the labor that comes in and the AV and all the volunteers we have that want to be part of the event. So, I mean, I'm a Cleveland homer. So, you know, what are you going to do? But we put on a quality event and the city's behind it. Like, I don't think in a lot of other cities you'll see banners of the event downtown, or you see, if you saw the taxi toppers, we've got all the taxi toppers right now promoting content marketing world. And that's a great thing with Destination Cleveland and the city of Cleveland getting behind us. You're not going to get that in Chicago or New York or Vegas because it's just another event. In Cleveland, it's not just another event.
Yeah. So for years now, you've seen the logistics and the mechanics of it change, but right, most importantly, the content continues to change. The attendee, probably the type attendee, continues to evolve. Can you speak to some of those items?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we get a lot of small businesses that attend, don't get me wrong. We've got definitely got the tracks for it, but we are mid-market and up. So last year we had 40 of the Fortune 100 attend in some way, which is
40% of the Fortune 100.
Not too bad.
Not bad.
And even better, and what I like to see, is they send groups. So last year I think Dell sent, you know, came from Austin, they sent 19 people, and Cisco Systems sent 16, and Rockwell sent over 20. So those are the type of companies we really talk to, B2B and B2C. And in order to, what I want to see is, I want to see Cisco Systems, I want them to come, but it's not just their managing editor, it's not just their marketing director, it's their SEO person, it's their social media person, it's their PR person, because what happens is, even though content marketing has been around for a long time, it's a new muscle in most organizations. They haven't really done this before on the scale that we're talking about. So you need all that support in the organization, because if you just send one person, they go back to regular old, this is how we do marketing, and they get the door shut on them. It's a real challenge, and it's a real cultural change to communicate value on a consistent basis when you're not selling your product or service. So I like it when the groups come in, because then they can all get on the same page, they can champion it together, and they can make change happen in the enterprise. And I think that's what we've been seeing.
But I think that's where you guys have been unique, is that both the Institute and then the event have approached content marketing, like you said, as that muscle that goes across a lot of silos, right? So just like from an integrated agency perspective, it's not just, you know, A, B, and C. It's what the thread is between A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And you think that's finally kicking in for a lot of organizations? 2016, are we getting there?
Yes, but big companies, as you know, move very slow. So let's just look at, so I started in this industry in 2000. So how was content marketing, even though it wasn't called that, but what was the approach in most companies? It was, we have a publications group, they're off in the corner, or there's two desks by the furnace in the basement where they kept these people, and they were usually working on a loyalty-driven magazine. Mm-hmm. Well, now as we've gone, you know, if you got into the mid-2000s and you started seeing the strength of Google and search engines, and you started to see, of course, social media was popping up all over the place. And you know this, where content became so central to everything we do.
Right.
What is our message? How are we going to communicate value outside of the products and services we offer? That means that and that goes into IT, it goes into HR, it goes throughout the organization. And that's why, just to give you an example, let's go back to Cisco Systems. Cisco what was it, 6 months ago, they got rid of 200 people in their marketing integrated marketing group. No, they just added 200 content marketing related roles. And what those are marketers that have sort of take a content marketing approach, but those are managing editors, those are journalists, those are video content creators, audio content creators. So they decided it was so difficult to pivot inside the organization with the people they had. They really had to then cut bait, clear. And then they started fresh by bringing in new people. Now, you don't have to do that. A lot of companies don't do that,
right.
But it's a little bit slower. Cisco said, we're going to take this new approach and go this direction and bring in people that look at marketing a different way.
Sure.
So that's what's happening. And if you're just a content marketing group, there's nothing wrong with just having a content marketing department, but that's not what we're seeing. You're seeing content marketing roles or content first as an approach roles throughout PR, throughout corporate communication, if you call it integrated marketing. I mean, it's the entire organization,
right.
Because what we know is we can't get people's attention anymore by talking about ourselves. I mean, I'm saying things that should be obvious to anyone listening, but the fact is that most organizations that people that come to content marketing world, they're still set up the way that we set up marketing departments 50 years ago. So you're taking, it's like you're putting a Model T against the Tesla. You have to change everything you do, and large organizations are so small. Let's look at small companies.
Yeah.
So that's why small companies and startups actually are better suited for a content marketing approach, because they don't have the politics, they don't have the red tape, they don't have to take so long to change. And that's why you see some of the greatest examples in content marketing are coming from very small companies, because they don't have to say, oh, I really want to do this. Oh, it's a new thing. No, we don't want to do that. That's too risky. Then you fight against the sales department, and the salespeople say, hey, you're not talking about our products and services in any of this content. We can't do that. You're not going through 7 rounds of legal and governance. Mm-hmm. So that's where large companies have to go to, where they're a little bit more agile and how they're communicating, and they're giving more of that power back to the people in their organization to say, look, you know these markets, you know how to communicate with this audience, let's do this consistently over time, and that's where we build an audience and make an impact.
So for the audience of this podcast, our audience tends to be in the middle market, mid-sized businesses. What would you recommend for a company like of that size who wants to get into content marketing? Is it blow up and start from scratch? Is it find an advocate? What do you find to be the most successful approach?
Well, what I love, there's an exercise that we love to do. It's called the why exercise. It's a really simple thing. So basically, you take your marketing team together and you look at one of your audience, so like one of your personas, and then list, so put why question mark at the top on a piece of paper, and then on the left-hand side, list all the ways you communicate with that audience. Twitter and Facebook and e-newsletter and print magazine and webinars and all those things. And then list the business reason for those that you know of. I've done this exercise with 50 companies and no one's completed it, because why are we doing that?
Not one. Wow.
Not one 100%. They have to go back and maybe they have to find it. Like,
right.
Okay. Why did we start that e-newsletter? What's the business reason for it? Is it sales? Is it cost savings? Is it customer loyalty? Somebody forgot. We just continued to
yes.
do stuff.
So because everybody else is doing it
just
isn't a
right.
good enough answer?
Or it's been so much time, we just kept doing it because that's what we do. Why do you do the magazine? Because we've always done the magazine. That's not a good enough answer. We actually have to go find out. I love when I talk to a mid-market B2B company and I ask them, why are you on Facebook? I don't ever get a good answer for that. Oh, because everyone needs a Facebook. Do they? No, they don't. So to answer your question.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Thank you.
So you don't necessarily need a Twitter account. Now, I love using social as listening posts, but it doesn't mean we need to promote content on those posts. So what I would just say is go through that exercise and then look at all the things you do. And the first thing we want to figure out is what are we going to stop doing? Because you can't just say, oh, we're going to create all this stuff. We're going to do a blog, and we're going to do a podcast, and we're going to do a video series, and keep doing all the stuff that we don't know why we're doing it or if it's working or not. I want to hear you say no to some things. So if you look at our research that Content Marketing Institute and Marketing Profs we do every year, let's take a mid-market size company. They're communicating through 13 different channels to an audience. So that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's too much.
So do you find that – they're doing one or two of those well, and the rest are just kind of half-assed?
They're usually doing all of them half-assed. Hmm. So that's what we want to get to is, can we be amazing in one or two of those? So I'll give you an example, which is, so I was COSE locally, so Council of Smaller Enterprises here locally in Cleveland. I was doing a workshop, mostly small businesses, but there were 50 in the room. And of those 50, I said, how many of you are doing sending e-newsletters on a regular basis to your customer base? Everyone raised their hand. I said, okay, keep your hands raised. I said, how many of you, through that e-newsletter, are delivering unique and a valuable information through that e-newsletter on a consistent basis? They all put their hands down. So basically, you're all spamming your audience right now with information that is not either not valuable or they could get anywhere else.
Right.
That's the kind of thing we have to stop, because we're just going through the motions. Like when I ask somebody, are you doing content marketing? They'll say, oh yeah, we do ebooks and white papers and a podcast. Well, that doesn't mean you're doing content marketing. That might not be a content marketing approach. Those might be sales collateral pieces. I don't know. So you want to really look at, are you delivering value outside your products and services on a consistent basis? So what I would do if I'm a mid-market company, I would say, well, what can we do really well to one audience consistently over time with a differentiated message? So that's when you say, okay, let's focus on one content type. Is it audio? Is it video? Is it textual plus image? Like, pick one. One platform. Is it my Blogger website? Is it iTunes? Is it YouTube? Consistently deliver. So when I say consistently deliver, let's say your e-newsletter. You do a weekly e-newsletter on Friday and you send it out at 10 a.m. Not at 10:01, not at 9:59, consistently over time. And for these things to work, it takes about 13 to 18 months. And a lot of mid-market companies don't want to hear that, because they'll say, Joe, I want to do content marketing. What can I see in 6 months? And I said, well, if your timetable is 6 months, don't do it. Go do something else. Go buy a lot of interruption. Go buy ads.
Yeah, it's a lot quicker. A
lot quicker.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see, because it takes time. And media companies know this. Publishers know this. It takes time to build a loyal audience. So you have to put in the time for that.
You guys have been preaching that for a long time. Is that changing? Are people starting to understand that length of time, even a small degree?
The ones that are successful, yes. Yeah. I mean, look at, so Lars Silberbauer, he runs content and social at Lego. He's one of our keynotes at Content Marketing World. I, at the age of 14, received the first magazine of Brick Kicks, which is now Lego Club Magazine. Mm-hmm. I was 14 years old. They've been doing that magazine since 1987.
Jeez.
Now, nobody wants to hear that, because we're all under pressure and we all have to see leads right away, and I get that. But if you want it to go a long period of time, let's look at Red Bull. Everybody says, I always say, okay, anytime you talk content marketing, it's like we have to talk about Red Bull for some reason.
Right.
But let's talk about them. What did they do? They started with just a simple magazine called the Red Bulletin. It was a men's lifestyle magazine that they wanted to contribute information to their audience outside of just selling cans. And it worked really, really well. And now, you know, they started doing that for a couple of years. Now they've got, I don't know how many they reached, 6 million worldwide with that magazine. But now it's Red Bull Media House, a self-contained media operation that I would put up against some of the best in the world. And that's, they don't necessarily measure them. What's amazing is they don't measure themselves. They generate more can sales, but they measure themselves like a traditional media company would. That's one model and one way to do it. But every situation, John Deere, the Furrow magazine, been launched since 1895. Okay, let's go to some newer ones. Let's look at Copyblogger, Brian Clark, who's one of the fastest growing software as a service companies. He blogged for 19 months until they saw return. Now they're growing like crazy. 99% of their revenue comes from people that have opted into their content first. So think about that. How do you get people to subscribe to your content first? Takes time to do that. Mm-hmm. And then once you do that and build that relationship, then you can introduce your products and services. And it will make an impact, and you measure, okay, what do my subscribers do differently? Do they buy more? Do they stay longer? Do they become happier customers in some way? Those are the things that we do that. So anybody listening to this that wants to really make an impact, you really have to say, look, this is a 12 to 18 month initiative. When we get to the 6 month mark, what kind of qualitative information do I have to give to my executive team so they'll let me continue? Set those expectations that you're not going to see it in 6 months, but you could see, oh, we could see some subscribers, we could see some leads. But what we're really waiting for is that 12 to 18 month mark, when we're going to change the way that our customers think about something, and that will then add to our bottom or top line in some way.
So switching gears into the kind of the trends arena, what is going on? I mean, I've loved listening to the Blitzy and Rose podcast, PNR, right? This Old Marketing. And you talk about the hype cycles were very big, especially on things that are more technologically related, the hype cycles and the trough of disillusionment. Sure. And, you know, you get these studies as you can watch and pinpoint how things move, you know, trends move through those adoption curves. What's going on today? And what are you most excited about to see in a couple of weeks in terms of topics? Are there any old topics that are just having a fresh spin on them?
Well, the first thing I'm excited about is you don't have to define content marketing when you go. You know, I don't have to go in and talk to a chief marketing officer and explain to them what content marketing is. They have some idea
right.
of it. Whether it's in their shell or not, they get that. So that's fantastic.
Kudos. Done, right?
All of us, we're
You're
all
done.
Working on the
yeah,
same team,
no.
right? So it just takes some time to do that. Now, if you look at Gartner's hype cycle, which you know, you and I talked quite a bit, we saw a dip into this thing called the trough of disillusionment, and we're on our way there. Now, what does that mean? That means that, okay, the newness of content marketing is gone, and now the work begins. And what
right.
happens in the before you hit the trough of disillusionment, you get some people that are giving up on the approach of content marketing. Why? For a lot of the reasons we talked about, but they're treating content marketing as a campaign. They're sending out information that is substandard, that's not working. They're not consistently delivering it. They're focusing on too many audiences at one time. So a lot of those people are giving up. So I even see it in the people signing up for content marketing world. I can see it firsthand where some people were sending 10 and then this year they don't send any. Well, why is that? Because somebody in the organization said, we're going to go back to the four P's. We're going to go back to the way it was done 30 years ago because this thing is not working. Well, they didn't give it a fair shake. Now, what's great about this time we're in, we're also seeing some people that have weathered that storm and like the Legos and the Red Bulls and the Cisco Systems and the IBMs, they are coming out of this more building audiences all over the place. They're turning into full-fledged media companies, if you will, which I think is the future of this
right.
is where it's going. I think that most of us will end up getting our information from brands and not media companies in the next 10 years. I've always believed that. We're seeing most of the M&A, not most, more M&A activity happening from brands buying media properties. I'll give you one example. Arrow Electronics, Fortune 250 company, B2B electronics manufacturer. They actually purchased from our parent company, UBM, they purchased a suite of media properties, digital media properties, to do exactly what we're talking about. But they said, hey, instead of starting fresh,
right.
we're going to go out and buy it.
Build it, right, buy
which
it.
I've had conversations with a couple of the largest companies in the world about this, and this is a thing. It's actually happening where they're going through and saying, okay, do I want to wait 12 to 18 months? No. Now, so how can I speed that up? We have lots of cash. Corporate coffers have never been more full than they are right now. So they're using that cash to invest in media companies and going out and actually buying the audience, buying the subscribers, buying the content network, and then plugging it into what they already do. So that's a trend. And actually, Arrow Electronics is speaking at Content Marketing World.
Very good.
As soon as they did that buy, we reached out to them
yeah.
and said, hey, can you speak? And I was excited when we were able to get that. So that's, I think the other trend that we're seeing is this movement away from social as organic reach and organic publishing to pure paid. It is a paid channel now. They are paid channels.
Right.
And anyone that's looking to get organic reach through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat are all kidding themselves, in my opinion. You're better off looking at those as ways to reach a new audience in different ways through paid promotion. And but so what are the channels that are left? I think you can still do this through iTunes. You can still do it through YouTube. LinkedIn to a point, but they're changing their algorithm. So basically, we're not in control of any of those algorithms, and that's what Facebook has shown us. And if you try to build subscribers and followers on social platforms, tomorrow the rules are going to change and you're not going to have access to those. And that's what Facebook taught us really, really well. So believe it or not, to end up this little discussion, email, believe it or not, is more powerful than ever. So one of the oldest
right.
that we talk about, right?
Yeah.
And why is that? Because we actually have an opportunity to connect directly. And the most, we don't have total control over email, but we have more control over email because they actually opt into something valuable. We can communicate with them on a regular basis. We can follow them using a marketing automation technology through and actually attribute to a sale or to how happy that customer is by them touching different pieces of content. This is content attribution models. They're all different in all companies, but that's exciting to me. So if I'm starting fresh, I'm focusing on one platform that I can own and control as a piece of owned media. I'm using social paid to promote that, and I have one of the best email newsletters in the market. If you just did that and nothing else, you would be way ahead of everyone.
Right.
So that's so those are some of the things. So we have a whole email track. We have people that are talking about the M&A stuff. We have a social media talking about paid social to promote content. Organic social is really off the table for us. I don't think it's worth spending time on it.
I agree. That's interesting. Yeah, although I think that's still an early discussion for a lot of brands to come to grips with that. They're seeing
because
their numbers drop.
Oh, hey, it's right. Free. Like, this is now in the last 2 years, I think, is the first time where you can go in and you can say, you probably shouldn't even be on Facebook. You probably don't necessarily need a outside of recruitment, a LinkedIn company profile. Because that's really a recruiting effort, I think, right. More than anything else. Do you even need to be on Twitter? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I want them to ask those questions instead of checking the box, right. Which is, well, oh, yeah, we need to have that up.
Go through
that
the page. Whys.
Don't do that. Go through and figure out what can we be the leading expert in the world at to a particular audience with a particular content niche. Figure out what that story is you're going to tell, and then figure out, okay, how do we tell that story? Mm-hmm. Which platform? How do we promote it? And then from a budgetary standpoint, if let's say 100% of your budget is content creation and distribution, I would look at 20 to 25% on content creation and 75% on promotion of that content. Less is more. It's instead of scattering, I see so many big mid-size and big brands, they're just sending out content all over the place and they have two or three views on it. Just stop that.
Right.
Just don't stop wasting your time. Focus on this is amazing, consistent content. Let's put a lot of muscle behind that and make sure we build an audience over time doing that.
I love it.
So does that fit into what you're selling here?
Yeah, no, 100%. Yes. Don't listen to us. Listen to Joe.
Oh,
right? I mean,
God.
It's the same thing. And I think going back even a couple of minutes, that point about, you know, it's 2016 and there are a lot of folks still operating like it's 1980, 1990, even 2000. And it's not cutting it because I think our pitch to especially a lot of mid-size growth companies or even smaller enterprise companies is that you're just not going to do business this century like you did last.
Yeah.
And that means you're not going to sell like you did, bundle your services or products like you did, and certainly not going to market.
When you talk to your clients, do they know why? Do they really get that they've lost total control over the channels where there's not just eight channels, ways for consumers to get information anymore? Do they get now there's thousands of different ways and the control is gone?
Most understand. It's a problem, I think, where you're just stretched so thin. You know, and depending on when the brand started to evolve into this new way of thinking, are they still way behind the eight ball or... You know, or were they able to pivot to your discussion around Cisco? You know, we've watched marketing departments move. It takes a couple of years yep. into a new realm. We've watched others where they need changes at the top to clean out some old thinking to get to the appropriate way to do that. But yeah, we're not there yet 100%. And you know, marketing and selling and you know, building audiences continue to change. So it's not changing and then it's settled. Or plateauing for 5 or 10 years for people to catch up on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's this constant game of playing catch up for a lot of brands that aren't paying attention that concerns me.
So from 2000 to 2007, I was in B2B publishing, as you know. And the people who were publishers, the executives making the decision, they became successful through a different model. And as we got into the mid-2000s, the model has changed, mm-hmm. especially the business model. and they were at a loss. They're like, this is not how we did it.
Right.
This is what we're going through right now in marketing, because this chief marketing officer, this is changing drastically. You know, we've got a lot of change happening at the upper ranks in these companies. But the problem is those that were successful 20 years ago and they made it all the way to the top, they're looking at it like, what is this? This is not what we were taught in school, and this is nothing that I've known before, and that's why we're seeing all this cleaning house happening. So, you know, I mean, to those people that are at the top, I mean, that's where learning comes in, right? I mean, you never stop learning, and they know, and there's some smart people, but I've been in conversations where they're like, hey, we're focusing on campaigns, television. We're just gonna interrupt, and we know if we get so many impressions in front of them, but brand recognition is way different today than brand attraction. Hmm. And we want to focus on brand attraction. If we focus on attraction, that means we have to give value outside of what we sell. That's a very tough thing to actually sell through a company that's been focusing on brand recognition.
It's a different mindset.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're giving versus getting, right? And then you got to give first to then get in this economy where you've got to get the value.
Well, in the past, it didn't matter. Yeah, it's just like, oh, hey, I see Procter & Gamble, put Unilever, push. And when I go to the store, I see it, I go ahead and buy it. That's why you get the Dollar Shave Clubs of the world that can totally say, here's who we're targeting. We've got a different message to this group of people. And then 5 years later, they sell for $1 billion. That's happening.
Yes.
God bless them is right. Yeah, good model.
If you can do that with razor blades,
you can do it.
You have no excuse in any industry, right?
Do it with anything.
It's not just Silicon Valley and anything that's sexy. It's not even just consumer stuff.
Well, to that point, it's the unsexy areas that are the biggest opportunities.
And there's still low-hanging fruit in a lot of those.
There is.
And that's where I think smart brands are looking around them and saying, how do we repackage? How do we just, you know, maybe the same thing, but how do we just go to market differently?
Well, the other thing that's happening, because publishing and media companies are struggling so much because their business model has changed, that's where a brand in that market can actually go and dominate, like an arrow. Because they can say, oh, well, the media company, they cut research, they're cutting all of their editors, they're being hired by brand side. So you can come in and say, wow, there is a content gap here that we can own if we commit to it. So that's where... On the B2B side, there's all kinds of opportunity if we just look and say, oh my God, look it. We can be the leading information source around that area to that group of people. You just have to make the decision and commit to it.
So I want to talk about content marketing world in specific for a second, because I'm looking at the roster of speakers, you know, leadership from Lego, Bank of America, authors, speakers, and then there's Mark Hamill. and I love Mark Hamill, but I'm dying to hear what drove that. How did you land on Mark Hamill as a keynote speaker? Well, Luke Skywalker.
The first thing I have to say is, as the the agenda leader, which is me, I have a little bit of leeway to pick the people that I would like to see up on stage,
right.
Which is how we got Kevin Spacey, which is how we got John Cleese, and those, you know, basically my heroes.
So you're just going down a list.
Pretty much.
Right?
I've got
people
a list of
I'd
people.
Like to meet.
Now, so a couple things. First of all, in the event business, just like in our content marketing, the attendees have to be having a good time in order for them to learn. Then they'll open themselves up to new ideas.
Sure.
So that's why we do a lot of fun stuff. So Mark Hamill is part of that. Okay, let's go to how does Mark Hamill fit? One of the best voiceover actors in our business, and most people don't realize, outside of the Star Wars thing.
Right.
Which, by the way, for those people that watched Episode 7 and said, you know, he was only in it at the end, he's in it a lot in 8 because as we were negotiating, he was on set.
So I'm curious.
So he's in he's in the next one a lot.
Did you start these negotiations before Episode 7 came out?
We started negotiations almost when it was being released.
Okay.
Is when we started. And when we were communicating back with him and his wife, who's super wonderful, his wife is his agent, we just couldn't get his attention because he was on set in London. So once we got that taken care of. Now, if you look at, he's been a producer, he's been a director, he's been a writer, he's an actor. That's what we really go for. So that when I look at things like a Kevin Spacey, like a John Cleese. I like to look at people who are content creators, but in a different way that can relate back to our marketing and PR and communication audience. So that's where I think that he'll be fun. He's got great experience in that area. And then who doesn't want to meet Mark Hamill, man? I mean,
Especially you.
I don't know if you saw that I posted. Did you see that post that I did on Facebook the other day? I brought in an old issue of Tiger Beat.
That was old.
My issue.
No, it's your brother's, you said, right?
Issue. I have to throw him under the bus a little bit. But yeah, it had, I didn't realize until I had Mark Hamill on the cover. That's why I took the picture, and next to Harrison Ford from 19. There was Cheap Trick. I didn't even realize it. So basically, what I'm going to do for next year is I'm going to bring out an old Tiger Beat. And then say, okay, who's the rock band at that time? And then who is the star attraction?
Old as new again.
So I think what was 1980 was Corvette Summer, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Wasn't it? Or was that before? It doesn't matter. That was when 1980 is when Empire came out.
So. Yeah.
Anyways, we have a little bit of liberty, but yeah, we've had people super excited, and we're doing a promotion right now of people that want to, if you sign up to Content Marketing World before August 14th or something, you get a chance to meet Mark Hamill and sit by him or sit in the front row and
so
all that stuff.
So why don't you tell our audience how they can find more information out, sign up, and then also some of your other awesome properties that we love here at ThunderTech.
So Content Marketing World, September 6th through 9th. Believe it or not, there's 12 tracks per day, something for everyone on the marketing side. September 6th are workshops, so topical workshops like search engine optimization or creating a content marketing strategy. 7th or 8th are the main sessions where you have keynotes and then the 11 or 12 different breakout groups. And then the 9th is our industry lab. So if you're in finance or healthcare or professional services or pharmaceutical, we have something for each of you, and you can meet and network with people that are going through the same challenges that you are. So go to contentmarketingworld.com. I believe if you use coupon code Joe, that'll get you an extra $100 off.
Fantastic.
It's J-O-E. So try that one.
Okay.
So that'll work. And so it's our, that's our main holiday. If content marketing has a holiday, it's Content Marketing World, the right after Labor Day every year. So.
And your podcast, I love it. We love it. We listen to it.
We're on episode, we record this one, we just finished episode 142. So PNR, This Old Marketing. And Robert Rose and I have been doing it for 3.5 years now. And it's going really, really well. I mean, we get lots and lots of listeners from all over the world. And we talk about the news of content marketing. And then we finish it with our rants and raves, what we like, what we don't like. We get a little opinionated. And then we talk about an old example of content marketing. And what's funny is we've been finding these great ones. Like, I didn't realize that Poor Richard's Almanac from Benjamin Franklin was a content marketing initiative. And he did, the only reason why he did Poor Richard's Almanac was for people to buy more of his printing services. Isn't that beautiful?
That's fantastic.
I mean, let alone all the other ones like John Deere's Magazine or whatever. So basically, the other things that we do, we contentmarketinginstitute.com, blog post every day, email newsletter. We have another event, Intelligent Content Conference, in March in Vegas. That's all about the future of content, which I'm super excited about this year because we're going to be talking about interactive content, artificial intelligence. We're really going on the cutting edge as a marketer and a communication professional. What do you need to know?
Way past the trough.
Those are your early adopters. How do you take one source of data and how do you personalize that in all different types of formats? And those are the things that we talk about from a structural architecture standpoint. And yeah, we just, everything content marketing, it's our job to be on the cutting edge. We got our research coming out soon, so we'll talk about that in my keynote at Content Marketing World. All the new research, we just, I think 2,500 filled out the survey this year. So we're going to have some great results, and we've asked some new questions this year about the state of content marketing. So it's what's not to like.
I know. Such a spectrum.
it's all, and as long as I'm having fun,
that's important.
Which I am.
Yeah,
that's all we care about.
You always have a smile on your face, Joe. Oh,
it's just amazing that this actually became a thing, and I don't have to go back and work for somebody else. So
you make a living from it. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Well, I know, again, internally we're big fans, and if there's any other podcast our listeners should listen to, it's certainly This Old Marketing.
But listen to this one.
Yeah,
first. And then a little bit more. We're once a week, so we send out every Monday night, and then the blog post comes on Saturday. But yeah, so maybe on the off weeks you can listen to This Old Marketing and then from what you guys produce.
And then jump into Thundercast.
There you go.
The rest.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Bring on the thunder.
All right, that wraps up Thundercast for this week. Special thanks, Joe. Thanks for coming in and talking to us.
Anytime, my friend.
So as always, if you enjoyed what you heard today, subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. And if you do like Thundercast, do us a favor and take a second to review us on iTunes. It would really help us out. If you want to find any of our back episodes, you can always go to thundertech.com/podcast. If you have a topic you want to talk about, send us a tweet @Thundercast. Thanks for listening.